Could you guys, first of all, introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, it's Nate Mendel, bass player.
Taylor Hawkins, drummer.
You guys are on tour here now. The tour's finally ending, right, somehow?
We got another week. It's been about four. One more.
How's it been?
It's been really amazing. It's the biggest tour we've ever done. It's been super long, the biggest shows, kind of a surprise. It was huge over in England. The first show we did was the biggest one, 15,000 people. And normally it would take us about 12 shows to do that many. So
how come you guys are exploding so fast then?
I don't know. No clue. I mean, I think that it's just been a buildup of just coming back every year. I think Reading had something to do with it. I like to think that our new record had something to do with it, but I don't know. The tickets kind of, I think, were on sale before that.
Well, probably the new record has something to do with it because it's exploding in Hollandsville. You guys already sold 20,000 copies beyond in Holland, which is quite a lot.
Is that a lot in Holland?
Yeah. It's gold. 40,000 records is gold in Holland, so that's pretty good.
On our way, yeah.
The album is, of course, really good. I like it a lot. Yet, to me, when I first heard it, it was like, well, this is by far the least commercial record Foo Fighters issued until now. So I was...
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that to a certain degree. It's less pop.
Yeah.
In a way. I mean, less catchy right off the bat. I mean, I like to think that it's the kind of... They're the kind of songs that take a little while to grow on you. And then once you like them, then you really like them. Whereas, like, maybe you like Learn to Fly right off the bat, but after a while you get sick of fucking hearing that song.
Either that or you just never end up liking it.
Yeah, you know, I met somebody yesterday in Germany, and he didn't think it really rated up to... You know, some people don't like it. I mean, in Kerrang! We got a horrible review. The guy said it was nowhere near as good as any of our last records. So, I mean, it's different. I think it is different. I think it's really drastically different, but I sometimes feel like that's just because I'm inside the bubble, so to speak. And, you know, if you're from an outside point of view, they're all not quite as different as I think they are.
So from your inside point of view, what's so drastically different?
Well, it's definitely different than the last record. The last record had a lot more space. You know, the songs were slower. It was less heavy. And this record's a lot more aggressive and heavier and more raw, really.
A lot of people who were listening to the album first, when I talked to them, were like, well, you can definitely notice that they've played in the Queens of the Stone Age, that he toured with them, and that sound really came through in Foo Fighters. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think, first of all, you find what you're looking for. I mean, that's kind of an obvious thing, but I see just a little bit of it, just tiny little influences, and I think that's cool, you know?
Just as much of a Rush influence as I do a Queens of the Stone Age influence, as I do a Pixies influence, as I do a Beatles influence, as I do a Black Sabbath influence. And funny thing, all those bands influenced Queens of the Stone Age too. So, you know, there may be a few little things, you know, that were directly sort of influenced, maybe some of the background vocals on some things, because we did do a lot more backgrounds on this record. And, that's a good thing, though. I mean, you know, it's good to pick up stuff. They're a great band, you know?
It surprised me that you mentioned Rush, because I was like, when I was listening to them, I was like, well, there's some Rush in here, but, I mean, you don't...
It's not outwardly. Like, it's not like we're just trying to rewrite Tom Sawyer or anything like that. I mean, we like Rush as sort of a guilty pleasure. You know, I mean, we don't sit around and listen to Rush, like, seriously. We love, I respect them as musicians and everything, but, like, we get the joke, too, you know? But at the same time, you know, the music got more complex. And me and Dave love to sit around and jam Rush licks together. And Nate can't probably stand Rush that much.
I don't know. There's some pretty cool bass there. I just don't know the songs.
Nate's actually starting to become more into some of the bullshit that me and Dave always liked, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's such a wide variety of what we listen to. I mean, yeah, maybe Queens of the Stone Age had some tiny influence. But, you know, there's definitely nothing like Lonely as You on the Queens of the Stone Age record.
No, because when I was listening again and again to the record, to your record, I was like, well, actually, I don't really agree with the fact that it's a Queens of the Stone Age sound, because it's not.
I don't really agree that much either. I mean, the one thing that you mentioned, some of the background vocals in Low reminded us of Queens of the Stone Age a little bit. I mean, that's such a minute little thing. And if so, that's cool. I mean, because I think it's something interesting, something that the Foo's... You know, either way you do things, any time you lift something slightly, Because you're lifting everything to a certain degree. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just one big fucking garage sale as far as I see it, you know? You know, I think there's some bands that directly rip off other bands, but there's cool ways of picking up little influences. I mean, you know, like, it's just rock and roll, you know?
Talking about the album again, you guys recorded it in 12 or 14 days, I read on the web?
Well, eventually.
So it took a little longer, right?
Well, no. I mean, the album that is out now, One by One, was essentially recorded in about 2.5 weeks or whatever. But there was a lot of missteps and groundwork that went into getting to those two.
The whole, like, 6-month false start business. Yeah, they had that. So, we're floundering a little.
Yeah, I mean, you can sit around and brag about how, you know, we recorded the record in 3 weeks, and there's something great about it, and you hear it. But actually, the music was laid down, and a couple of songs were written in that time period. But a lot of the music was sort of written. I mean, All My Life was already done completely, but it just needed to be re-recorded. Have It All was basically done with a few added little things. Tired of You was from the first sessions. And because we did try and record the album once, and it didn't work out.
What reason? I mean, you listen back to it, you go like, well, this is not the sound we're looking for, or the songs still suck, or how does it work?
It was just, it lacked an energy, and it lacked an excitement, and it just, the recording process itself was slow and arduous and
unfocused.
I mean, there was a lot of things that went into it. I wasn't quite ready. Dave wasn't done jamming with Queens of the Stone Age.
So then what? Then you record, and then halfway you stop it. And then, I mean,
and then Dave took the break to go play with Queens. We took a break and all did our own things. He went and played with his buddies from Sunny Day Real Estate, formed a new band with them. I did some recording, and Chris started doing some other recording. And in that short time, and it was relatively short, there was a sort of realization to Dave, especially. You know, I was sort of resigned to the fact that, I don't know what's going on, whatever. But there was a sort of realization to Dave that, like, he wants to keep playing. He wants to really get serious about it. And then once the excitement was there again, and we changed some things in the studio, changed producer, which wasn't necessarily the original Adam Casper's fault or whatever. There was no chemistry going on. And once we got in there with Nick Raskolinix, who's here with us right now on tour, recording our shows, there was just a certain amount of kinetic energy. I mean, and I know that you felt it when you were in there with Nick. Didn't he really give you a whole new way of recording and a whole new excitement about yourself and playing?
Yeah, it's the producers make a lot of difference, actually. I guess people probably know that. But in this case, it was just a pretty dramatic, not to disparage Adam and all, but it was a pretty dramatic help to have Nick there.
Did you guys have any doubts of going on with the band? Like, I can't really imagine if the vibe's not there and the recording process gets slow and then Dave goes off with another band and you go off with your band and you take a break. I mean, didn't you ever have doubt? Like, well, this is it? This is not going to happen anymore?
Maybe a couple times, not too seriously, just passing thoughts. I mean, it's definitely low point of the band, and we got back to it really quickly, so it's not that.
And then you come up with your best-selling record ever.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of nice. It really is nice after going through that to have it do really well, because it was a lot of work. It really was.
Sometimes you need to kind of be up against a wall, and really up against a wall to a certain degree, and to push through as hard as you can. And when you finally do push through, you hit that much harder, you know?
I'm curious. Does that get worser with every record you make? Like, are you afraid of that when you make the next record?
You can't be, you know. You just have to go in. Every record seems to sort of have a different path, you know, to it. But they're all difficult.
Yeah, because I can imagine you're not really looking forward then to making the next record.
Well, now the flip side of that is, for me, each record that I've recorded, this is the second record I've done with the band, they get easier. Every time I go in the studio, it gets easier. So for me, I think personally, this is the next record is going to be a breeze compared to the way it was at the beginning. Because I've been a live drummer essentially since I was a kid. I've never really done much recording, and so I kind of just jumped into it with this band. The first time was with On There's Nothing Left to Lose. I only ended up doing half the drums on the record, and I'm just talking personally about me. This time around, by the time we got to that 2-week recording, you know, blitz, I was ready. And now I have a greater understanding of how to tone myself to a certain degree in the studio and to get myself in a different kind of headspace as opposed to a live thing, and to kind of get rid of the red light fever, which is what we call when, you know, everything's great and then they turn the record button on and then you freeze up, you know, which happens a lot to people, you know.
Is it hard to play in a band with Dave? I mean, he's a great drummer and he can play any instrument. I mean, I can't imagine if you play in a band with him, you go like, well, whatever, he does it, he does probably better, or he always has a viewpoint on how you play.
Well, yeah and no. I mean, I get asked that every interview I've ever done. It's the view that I know you see, and it's the view that I know everybody else sees. I know they sit there and go, to a certain degree, you know, oh, you know, Teo's a good drummer, but yeah, Dave's.
Of course not. I mean, you wouldn't be in the band if you weren't a good drummer.
I know that, and I'm aware of that. I mean, I have my.
Actually, I think you must be a fucking brilliant drummer to be in this band.
Well, there's that, too. There's another way of looking at it, too. That you know, if Dave picked me to be the drummer, then obviously I must be really great or whatever.
I mean, it goes for all of you, because, I mean, he's.
For sure, yeah. We all have our own voice of our instruments. I don't play drums like Dave. You know, you listen to this record and go listen to Queens of the Stone Age record, and they're two totally different kind of feels, two totally different kind of drumming, really. I mean, there's some similarities, because there has to be. You know, we're both hard hitters, and we're both aggressive drummers and whatnot, but we're different. And personally, yeah, I think Dave's probably technically more proficient than me. He's probably, if, like, you know, they wanted to go record in some, you know, if whatever, a studio musician, they'd probably pick Dave over me. I mean, Dave's better at that than I am.
Yeah, it probably doesn't work that way between you guys, because, I mean, well, you're still in a band. And
we're a band, you see. That's the thing. I mean, Dave's the leader, and he calls the shots, and he says the final say, and he comes makes the final decisions. But when we're in the studio, it's kind of nice for everybody to do their own parts, you know, because that's what we sound like. We want the band to sound. We don't want the band. If Dave did all the instruments, then it would really just be a solo project with, like, three other guys in the photos, you know. Hey, you know. But, you know, for better or for worse, we're all on the record. Drums aren't as tight. That's just the way it is. If the bass isn't as fucking tight, or the guitars, you know, or whatever, you know. If Dave's a better musician, maybe, you know. And Paul McCartney's a way better drummer than Ringo. But Ringo still played drums on most of the Beatles stuff.
Yeah, that's what made them better. So, I mean, it's about the collective, right?
Yeah, it's about your voices on the instrument. It's about communicating with each other as musicians.
Do you guys jam together and try out songs? And does anybody get to bring in ideas for songs?
Well, this initial ideas are always Dave's. That's just a pattern the band's had from the beginning. And beyond that, he brings them in, and we as a band learn them, work them out, kind of come up with arrangements. Taylor's good on the arrangements. He helps out a lot with that. And then, you know, once you get a feel for what it's going to sound like as a full band, then it kind of becomes more of a song.
Are you recording a live album now? You got a title yet? And when will it come out? And
we don't know. We don't know. It was funny enough, on the way here, we had, you know, Nick in the bus with us, and Chris, our guitar player, said, yeah, are we making a live record? And Dave said, I don't fucking know. Eventually. I mean, we have enough material for a live record. I hope we do. I think that we're playing at our peak, especially on some nights. So it's better than, like, our recordings would have been, say, 3 years ago.
We can actually put something out now, and it's interesting enough. It would be good.
About it. Yeah, you know, I've heard some of it, and some of it's really good. I mean, we're going to have, like, fucking 25 or 30 shows to pick from or something like that. So, you know, we can have one day just listening to Low. You know, okay, 25 versions of Low, let's pick the right one, you know, and 25 versions of Have It All, and 25 versions of All My Life. So we will have a good live record, and it'll be cool because it'll be from different places, and hopefully we will. I hope so. You know, this is the best lineup. This is the tightest lineup so far musically. So I'm sure this will be the final lineup, too. I just know it. You just feel it, you know? I mean, you know, there was other lineups. I mean, it's been different twice since I've been in the band, and I'm the second drummer. And I mean, when I joined, I knew Pat was quitting. And then when we got Franz, with all due respect to Franz, I kind of just always felt like he was sort of a fly-by-night member, so to speak. You know what I mean? So it just never really gelled.
When you finish touring and you go home, what do you do? I mean, you're gonna spend all the money that you made, or
all of it? Yes.
Yeah. Shopping spree. Yeah.
Just no, big fucking. What do you do? When you come home, you had such big success with the album, with the tour, you come home, what do?
Rest, chill out, and work on your real life, you know, you're for the most part, I'll just want to chill. How about you, Nate?
Not this break. I got a hotel booked. I'm going to go snowboarding as soon as I get home.
But well, that's chilling.
It kind of is, yeah.
Literally.
But I mean, isn't it strange? I mean, you're on tour, you're in a whirlwind, you have a life like Spinal Tap come true all the time. I mean, and then suddenly you're at home, you close the door, and you're in the void.
Well, yeah, and you want that. Being on tour is great, but it's nice to go home and, like, I mean, you look forward to, like, cooking your own food and just dopey shit like that.
There's a slight decompression period for me. There's, like, a 3 or 4 day decompression period, and then, which basically, you know, you're just like, what the hell? I can do anything I want right now. A couple days later where I kind of freak out a little bit, like, okay, I can do anything I want right now, you know? But it's also, like culture shock in a certain way to me sometimes. It's not a bad thing. And then when we have long breaks, I'll get like fucking diarrhea on the way to the airport because I'll get nervous. Like I'll think, oh, I gotta. It's like two lives almost in a way. Mm-hmm. I get nervous on the way to the airport every time because I know I'm about to enter this, my other life. Do you get that at all?
I totally agree. Yeah, it's night and day.
I get like, I have to take a crap on the way to the airport every time.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's pretty fucking straight up, but you know, it's true. I mean, every time I notice it, every time I get in the car to go to the airport on the way to a month-long tour, I'm just going, oh my God, well, I'm going to be gone for a month.
You're looking forward to going home, or?
Fuck yes. I love touring, and I love playing, and I love what we do, but I also love my other life, too. So it's a 50-50 split. 50% of the time, I'm so happy to be on the road, and I'm loving it, but the other 50% of the time, thinking about my dogs, I'm thinking about just my where I live and my nice little neighborhood that I live in and my neighbors and the whole bullshit suburban dream, you know? So, I mean, you know, there's that and then there's that. So, I mean, and then 50% of the time I'm home, I'm thinking about, you know, I enjoy the buzz of the shows and stuff a lot, you know?